Chapter 33, Fulfillment of All Desires. In the evening recitation, Madhukantha, enthusiastic but restricted by choked voice, spoke. The unending enjoyment of Krishna and the gopis day after day became their very life. In that enjoyment, the eagerness was unlimited. Since their meeting together was unbroken for a long time, their thirst was never quenched, just as a person's thirst is not quenched by drinking water in a dream. The enjoyment is described. They would go out secretly, meet, embrace, kiss, play, become joyful, speak, give orders, and dress themselves daily. The gopis and Krishna would daily do so many activities, but they never questioned those actions by saying, "What am I doing? What did I do? What should I do?" In their eagerness after the words, many varieties, the following should be added. The gopis and Krishna daily perform many such activities, but they question that perhaps their actions were not those of the waking state, but were like illusions during sleep. Not only that, but on realizing this, they thought as follows. Eyes, which do not see his astonishing form, are completely useless. Ears which do not hear his sweet words are useless. If the eye could hear and the ear could see when Krishna came, they would not be envious of each other. How unfortunate they are. Sometimes when the gopis firmly embraced his ornaments and dress, Krishna would appear as a spurti at a great distance because of their rivers of prema. Since contact with great longing produced loss of consciousness, it produced a dream-like state, and the spurti would disappear from their eyes. The activities of Radha's senses were most indescribable. The conditions first appeared in Radha and then in Krishna. Radha experienced Krishna's association and separation, and experienced separation and union. In both conditions, she experienced her house, the time, joy, sleep, hot and cold. When this happened, she also experienced something else astonishing. Ah, the feelings and actions of herself and Krishna became reversed. When all the emotions became intense and manifested in the highest way, the elders engaged other women to restrain the gopis. Because of those symptoms, Krishna felt longing and shame. In his mind, he thought, "Why have they been locked inside their houses? Well-bred people hide in the earth because of gossip. My mind somehow does not think of right and wrong and proper conduct. People lament about this. I have produced suffering for the cowards by my hand. What can I do?" Again he thought deeply, "But this conduct is not improper, for my heart becomes happy by it and not depressed." He again considered, "I know these are my women, the very forms of Lakshmi. They are not other men's women, but there is a special plan here. Other people cannot discern this like I can. Seeing that, by the bad counsel of Garga, I and Balaram will go to Mathura. The gopis wither, become secretive out of fear, and consider themselves most unfortunate. They think, I am a coward woman by birth, similar to that of the people of Braj. Because of this nature, I have love for Krishna. Because of this, I go to him immediately. Then I develop attachment to him. Because of that, people criticize. Because of that criticism, the attachment becomes opposite. Oh, Sakhi, the attachment crumbles. I am unfortunate. What should I do? I find no end in considering if they are others, women, or not. The gopis, an ocean of prema, which is agitated by great waves of their desires, tremble just by contact with the wind that touches my body. Though there is actually no fault, talking of fault restricts love for me. Therefore, my mind says that I should distance myself from Braja. By that separation, later purification will occur for eternal marriage. It is said that debts, wounds, and bad qualities disappear with time. By this logic, by searching for me, the criticizers will show regret, and by good instructions from Yogamaya, the faults will disappear. Thinking in this way, he again thought with agitation, But how can I give up the cow sheds, the forest, the cows, the people of Braj, my servants, my friends, my gopis, my father and mother and Radha? Without me, they cannot remain sane for a moment. Thinking of them, I will be completely burnt up as if there were a fire within me. Thinking again, he spoke to himself. O Krishna, you perform actions in the forest and in the town. You treat the forest animals as friends. You take the gopis as your own body. Seen by the gopis, why would you desire other women on seeing the moon? Thinking of the gopis, he said, the hearts of the gopis where I placed necklaces will be a kingdom of tears. Thinking of Radha, he again spoke while sighing. Oh, that body which I devotedly anointed with camphor and sandalwood will be drowned in tears because of separation from me and will wither away, causing me pain. Radha, whom I previously saw as a fresh cooling moon, now burns my heart like a blazing flame. I came to this place controlled by her prema. What shall I do? Shall I proceed quickly on this path? Making the bondage favorable, my mind becomes steady. It is not possible to have happiness from any object. He remained silent, weeping for a moment. Again he began thinking, ah, ah, how can I lament again since a broken heart has no consciousness? Carefully giving up these thoughts while alone, he mingled with his friends. Snignakanta said in a choked voice, I will speak the later incidents tomorrow. And he along with Madhukanta wiped his eyes with his cloth while audibly sobbing. The sobbing did not cease for a long time. After a long time, he stopped weeping and understanding that Radha, Krishna and the others were in the same condition, he began to speak. You are situated in continuous happiness because of your actions of love, but we as reciters are afflicted with suffering on relating sorrowful incidents. When the two reciters went to their lodgings, Radha Krishna and all others experienced great grief like that of a dream. Then experiencing a transformation into bliss, they return to their houses. In the morning recital in the General Assembly, that is in Nanda's presence, Snigdhakanta began speaking. Having killed various evil cohorts of Kamsa in the morning before Keshi was killed, Krishna, rolling his lotus eyes, began to think. Almost all of Kamsa's cohorts have been killed. Keshi will later today be killed. Only the elephant named Kuvalyapita will remain. There are also some wrestlers, best of the demons, who think they are brave. The destroyer of the Bhoja dynasty, Kamsa, creating dissension, thinking himself equal to Nanda, afflicting my father, Vasudeva, still exists. I have now heard that Kamsa has chained up Vasudeva. In fear, Kamsa will not personally come to Braj. Though other reasons may appear, I should not go there on such a pretext without first considering the matter, for I am the protector of my father and others, and I am not independent of others' advice. Another pretext must be found. Let that be. Let it be concluded when it happens. I should not ponder this any longer. But considering this, he thought, oh, if I go to Mathura, I do not know how many arrangements will go to waste. How will I pass my time without Braj? Again he thought with tears in his eyes. Ah, father will not even drink water without my presence. Without me, mother will simply sigh deeply as if giving up her life. Like them, all the people of Braj will endure suffering. Ah, even the animals will feel lances piercing their hearts. I am not willing to tell this to Balaram. A person who experiences his own suffering and happiness and does not experience the suffering and happiness of others is not merciful. One who experiences others' suffering and happiness as his own is merciful. When thinking thus in the morning, Keshi arrived. Killing him, Krishna walked to the forest to herd the cows. When he was walking alone, Narada in bliss met him. Krishna saw Narada approaching dressed in pure clothing. Seeing him, he recognized him as Narada, with a body like Sarasati that is made of aksharas or syllables, with an eternal body. Like the Ganga appearing from Vishnu's feet, he appeared from the sky. Like Shiva worshipped by Vaishnavas on Kailas Mountain, he had an auspicious body with the principal marks of a Vaishnava, such as Tulsi beads. As a personification of Krishna's glories, he filled the ears with various songs. As Narayana is situated on the milk ocean, the names of Narayana were situated in his heart. As the full moon holds itself within the dark moon, so he held the form of Krishna within his heart. As the autumn clouds give pleasure and shower rain, he showered streams of bliss. As the Lord reveals his devotee to show the special attachment and bhakti, Narada experienced bliss. Narada saw Krishna, who was like a beautiful lotus with his eternally excellent feet. With skillful conduct, he was equal to millions of devotees. The tops of his feet gave unlimited kinds of joy. He was like Kurma, whose back acted as the base of Ananta. He was like a victory flag, in that he was beautiful with anklets around his ankles. He was glorious with quick, excellent armies. He was like a sapphire pillar with his excellent knees and thighs. He was fixed like Garuda, who was excellent in having a brother named Aruna. He was like the hills of his own braj in the shape of his broad hips, and having many bulls around him. He was like the best of men, endowed with joy mixed with auspicious beauty. He was like Narasingha in having with him Prahlad, who had marvelous beauty. He was like Narayana, beautiful with the lotus, the universe, in his navel. He was like a pleasant lake in which there were water and lotuses. He was like a fresh ray of the sun with yellow cloth and an attractive cord around his waist. He was like fresh shining of the sun with sky endowed with the best quality of rays. His abdomen constantly moved because of his breathing. He was like the leaf of an ashwata tree slightly blowing in the wind. He was like a black testing stone with an attractive golden line on his chest. He was like the ocean with a heart that gave shelter to all good qualities. He was like a victorious door bolt made of gems for protecting the laws. He was auspicious with ornaments on his arms. He was capable of protecting all, like Ram with the help of Angada and others. He was like the leaves of a desire tree with jewel rings on his fingers. He was like the Panchajanya conch with the sounds from throat giving joy. He was like the moon in being the servant of the brahmanas. Like only himself, he had beauty in his nose that conquered everything related to a parrot's beak. He was like Matsya, taking pleasure in his devotees by his vow to protect them. He was like a rain cloud, making rumbling sounds with his nicely arranged hair decorated with a peacock feather, with a form like Shiva, brilliant with the moon on his head. He was like Cupid, with his ears decorated with Makara earrings. He was like the moon, full with his dark cloud form showering nectar everywhere at all times. He was like Balaram in giving joy to Rohini and Yashoda and their son. He was like the moon giving joy to the cows, Yashoda and Nanda. He was like Narasingha in showing strength, since he had the best human form. He was again like the best fish, Matsya, in having a form remarkably respected at all times. He was like Vamana, in destroying the pride of the strong with his cleverness, that is, in destroying the pride of Bali by trickery. He was like Buddha, in killing the bull Arishta, who was on the path of evil. He was like Buddha, in criticizing the Shudra actions which led men astray. He was like Kurma, by showing skill and lifting Govardhan to deliver the cowards drowning in an ocean of rain, showing skill in lifting Mandara Mountain, which had sunk in the ocean of milk. He was like Baraha, in having attractive pastimes with Balaram, in having attractive pastimes of lifting the earth. He was like Parashuram, in destroying evil warriors showing bravery, in killing evil warriors in the dynasty of Kartavirya Arjuna. He was like Kalki in destroying Kaliyavana in the future, that is, in destroying the Yavanas in Kali Yuga. He was like Ramachandra again in giving deep happiness by his bodily features. In this way, by playful use of words and ornaments, Narada described Krishna and Krishna described Narada. Narada then praised Krishna, the abode of Lakshmi, who gives all joy with verses in order to make a request. Keshi, killed by you, attained liberation. He was praised for his strength. Though he was your enemy, he became devoid of enmity. You became merciful to him. All the demons that you quickly killed without using weapons became purified, though they were destroyed. O son of Nanda, you are the best in qualities. Though residing on earth, you protect the earth most remarkably. O killer of Baka, the moon is white, the Ganga is white, and Saraswati is also white. Respectively, they are white in coolness, purity, and color, but your white fame makes everything brilliant. O Krishna, though Kamsa was black, he became white by your fame. This statement is false because your fame does not touch him, but fear of you has touched him. Now I have come to inform you. O Krishna, it is not a lie, but it is well known that prema controls everything. Because of that, you do not have to worry about the sequence of pastimes, even though you're omniscient. Therefore, I have come secretly in order to make you remember your future pastimes without disturbing your mind. You have many devotees in Mathura. Eventually, you must protect them. These pastimes must take place one after the other. When you killed Keshi, you did so perfectly. Your ability to protect others reached perfection in making the sinful pure. Simply by your playing, the demons were crushed. Kamsa, afflicted by their deaths, burns himself up and will be destroyed. Kamsa will soon engage Akrura in bringing you to Mathura. You will leave your mother, father, and friends and go there to kill Kamsa. When he told Krishna this with emotion, Krishna stood there for some time without speaking. Then Narada spoke with some anger. You will infuriate the jackal Kamsa, killer of devotees, for Kamsa, who is like a frog in a well, feels itching and wants to get rubbed by your rough snake-like arms. He acts like a man only in front of his mother. You, the supreme male, will take hold of his life in Mathura and kill him to the very root. You will do what no one else can do. Grabbing him in your hands, you will shove him to his death with untiring prowess. O lotus-eyed Krishna, crushing him in your hands in the presence of your friends, you, ferocious like a lion, will see Kamsa devoid of cosmetics. The essential meaning is this. Through the agency of Akrura, you will go to Mathura, and breaking the bow of Shiva, you will crush Kuvalyapita. Killing the wrestlers, you will kill Kamsa and install Ugrasena as king. You will release your father and mother from prison. The people of Mathura will sing this old song. His eyes surpass blossoming blue and white lotuses, defeat the playful Kanjana bird by their fickle movement and crush all lions by their jubilation. His actions show fine skill for destroying the demons and submerging the devotees in the nectar of his new youth. That excellent dark person is coming here. Krishna said to himself, it is proper that I will give the kingdom to Ugrasena, for returning to Braja is most attractive to me. He then said aloud, then what will happen? Narada said, then the people of the villages, the people of Mathura, those in the assembly, the heavenly musicians in the sky, the devatas, Shiva, Brahma, their sons, and I will praise you. We will see you in Balaram shining like sun rays with the bloody tusks of the elephant on your shoulders, and we will see you too who have killed the wrestlers and mighty Kamsa. In excitement, the crowd viewing the wrestling will exclaim, is that black form sweet or is it fearful? Is it a woman in attractive clothing or a man with divine weapons? When Kongsa was liberated, though he deserved to die, his wife's tears will fall on the earth and melt your heart. Krishna said, "Who did you say were my mother and father?" Narada said with a smile, "For many reasons, this beautiful son of yours sometimes appeared previously as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, those who are learned sometimes call this child Vasudeva." That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.14. Krishna said with an astonishing smile, "Then what will happen?" Narada spoke, "You will be like a Chintamani stone which he had lost. Vasudeva and others will not be able to give you up. At their request, you will decide to stay there for some days to relieve them of the pain of coming together and parting. The people of Braj and Nanda meeting with you in Braj will stay there in dwellings made from their carts. The city of the Yadus, which has dwindled because of the destruction caused by Kongsa's long-lasting persecution, will be revived by your personal attention with the help of Ugrasena and his ferocious army. Not finding an opportunity immediately to leave, you will delay returning to Braj. Thinking in this way, you will consult with Balaram and, approaching Nanda, standing there with all the Braj people, promise them that you will return to Braj and send them back." Krishna said, "Oh, will they leave me and go away?" Narada said, "Nanda and his friends will make their bodies go back with great effort, but their souls will not return. Since the body is visible, it can certainly be restricted, but the soul cannot be restricted." Krishna said, "What will I say?" Narada said, "You, being respectable, will promise them, 'Now you should all return to Braj, dear father. We shall come to see you, our dear relatives who suffer in separation from us, as soon as we give some happiness to your well-wishing friends.'" That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam. "Your consoling words will give them faith." Krishna said, "When will I return?" Narada said, "When your intimates like Vasudeva experience heart-touching happiness." Krishna said, "When will that be?" Narada said, "Their happiness will become pervasive after a long time." Krishna said, "What disaster! Can this happiness pervade like the sky?" Narada said, "You will spend a long time in doing your duties until hundreds of thousands of Kongsa supporters are killed and you produce a remarkable wealth of children." Krishna said, "O great soul, I see the great misfortune will come upon me, for delay will be eager to bind me up." Narada said, "Do not feel devastated. You have a nature such that you will tolerate the destruction of happiness of your intimate associates of Braj to destroy the sorrow of your eternal associates in Mathura." Krishna said, "Let that be. Please speak of the future events, and let the suffering of the people of Braj caused by my evil nature by giving them up also remain. Speak of the later events of Mathura. Distressed by hearing it, I will simply lose my intelligence." Narada said, "Vasudeva and others will have Garga give you the sacred thread. On that occasion, Rohini will come from Braj, but not the people of Braj, for it will be very difficult for them to uproot the grief caused by seeing you become a Kshatriya." Krishna thought to himself, "Their grief about my being a Kshatriya and not going back is not proper, since they are attached to me in their hearts. Rohini is the friend of my mother. How can they be separated? I will ask about another topic." Then he spoke aloud, "Then what will I do?" Narada said, "You two brothers will go to the bank of the Avanti River, to the enlightened school of Sandipani Muni, and with no dejection enter the Gurukula as brahmacharis with great reverence to learn pure knowledge. You will astonish everyone by studying and understanding each subject in one lesson. The teachers will see this in astonishment, praising you in exasperation. The husband of Lakshmi has limbs softer than a new sprout. Service to him brings into blossom all desired objects of unlimited servers. His great learning makes Saraswati greedy for his knowledge. He collects wood on the instructions of his guru's wife with great pleasure. In 64 days you will learn all the arts. When your guru's wife begs for the return of her son swallowed by the Panchajanya demon as Dakshina, you will inform the people. The disciple must give the guru any object, whether easy or difficult to obtain. You will bring back the son intact from Yama, though he had lost his body. When you instruct Yama and bring back the son, the enemies will dispute this with their mouths, but will die in their hearts. Krishna thought to himself, I do not know what will happen to my mother, father, and others who will be without shelter and who have shown such mercy to me. It makes my heart tremble. Let that be. I will introduce another topic. He then spoke aloud, O Narada, who is Panchajanya? Narada said, similar to Jai and Vijay, this very famous special conch became a conch demon. You will accept him as your intimate limb. Whenever you blow this conch, your eyes will fill with tears because you will remember with compassion that you drank happily Yashoda's breast milk. Krishna said with agitation, speak of some other subject, not this. Narada said, hear a little of another topic. As soon as you complete your education and return to Mathura, Vasudeva and others will have reservations about your making a trip to attractive Braj, considering that it would not be auspicious for the future to ignore his order, you will lament. Then for this journey to Braj you will engage Uddhava, whom you consider most learned, who is devoted to doing only what is favorable for you and within whom there is always a festival. Because of the restrictive feelings caused by Vasudeva and others, you will not bring the people of Braj to Mathura. Vasudeva and others certainly share a secret amongst themselves. If Krishna, who desires only Braj, goes there, he will be stunned out of separation from them. If the people of Braj come here, they will end in a similar condition. The people of Braj will not come here on their own. You told them, you should all return to Braj, dear father. We shall come to see you. That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam. But you will also not know the secret meaning of your words, since that will destroy the naturalness of the situation. This condition continues by the advice and arrangements of Garga, not by itself. Another restriction, will I marry a Kshatriya maiden or a coward girl, does not manifest at that time in your awareness, but that restriction will also act as your assistant for not going to Braj. Independent like the Vedas, you will then inform the people of Braj. Jarasandha and others, thinking fearfully that I am in Braj, will persistently attack Braj with their troops. You will then send a letter through Uddhava to your father and mother. I exist only because of my relation with you. I desire to protect the Vrishnis with affection like my very life, similar to yours. My body remains in Mathura, but my soul remains by your side. Or my body and soul remain in Braj. The proof is that I appear as a spurti before you. Bound by the ropes of prema to the people of Braj, why do you say I will return? Bound by those words, you simply follow the desire of the people of Braj that you return there and follow your disinclination for staying in Mathura. You and I both agree that the demons must stop disturbing Vasudeva. Just by seeing Uddhava, the people of Braj will become most joyful because a devotee of Krishna gives joy to another devotee just by being seen, even not being known, just as the singer makes the listener joyful just by the first notes at the beginning of a song. Though pained by separation on hearing news of you, they will recover. Quickly, several months pass like days. After having Uddhava stay for several months, they will send a sealed letter through Uddhava expecting your return. Uddhava came and told us that you are the Supreme Lord. O son, we do not consider that you could be the husband of Lakshmi because that is not befitting as our son. If you are the Supreme Lord, may we always have affection for your lotus feet in this life and the next, for we have desire for you as Krishna, not as Vishnu. Krishna said, what will Uddhava say to me? Narada said, just as there is no beauty in the autumn without moon, in the spring without flowers, and in the monsoon without clouds, so the people of Braj have nothing without you." Krishna spoke with tears in his eyes, "Please explain how I can spend more days in Braj." Narada said, "Supporting the devotees, putting on armor, and killing the demons, you will have the opportunity to meet other devotees." Krishna spoke with agitation, "What is that?" Narada said, "Vasudeva's nephews, the Pandavas, will be cheated of their kingdom by Dhritarashtra's evil supporters. But being endowed with pure bhakti, they will gain strength from your support, since you are dependent on your devotees. For that purpose, you will first send Akrura, born of a good family, as a messenger from Dwarka to Hastinapura. Yudhisthira's side will again become strong because you will destroy the remaining supporters of Kamsa. When the scoundrel supporters of Kamsa and others like Dvidvida have been destroyed, the two wives of Kamsa, Asti and Propti, that is the daughters of Jarasandha, will remain. Almost blind with grief on Kamsa's death, they will be taken by friends to their father who will console them. Seeing the two wives with disheveled hair and clothing, travelers will laugh at them. Instigated by the condition of his daughters, Jarasandha, like old age personified, taking the form of death, will approach with an army of 23 Akshahinis. Like a moth going into a fire, he will fearlessly surround Mathura as if crushing it. You two will play like the sun and moon. Invincible, you will defeat the troops of Jarasandha dense as darkness, stopping the ignorant Jarasandha with contempt. You will support your joyful devotees in Mathura and shine eternally. After 17 such attacks, one morning you will see in the distance Kaliyavana with 30 million soldiers appearing like the ocean, spreading throughout the region. Krishna said, "Why will he come from so far and attack us, though he has no enmity toward us?" Narada said, "Since the Yadavs had afflicted the dynasty of Garga, he appeared as the fire after worship by the Garga dynasty to cause disturbance to the Yadus. Seeking out Jarasandha, he became an invincible forest fire of fear against the forest fire of the Yadus. Inspired by me, he will be inevitably killed by you." Krishna said, "How will the despicable fellow die?" Narada said, "His despicable nature will be in truth the real cause. People will sing with laughter in this way." Imitating the cool effulgence of Krishna, the king of the Malechas, an ignorant mosquito, though blazing like fire, by meeting the fire of Muchukunda, will turn to ashes in an astonishing way. Krishna thought to himself, "When he causes affliction that spreads for 100 yojanas, I do not know where the people of Braj, numerous as a forest, who give me bliss, will go, scattering into small groups." Understanding Krishna's mind, Narada explained, "They will go to the west of Kamyavan to a large forest near a mountain. But you will think as follows in order to remove their suffering from enemies, just as you will do for the Yadus. I should do as I will do for the Yadavas, who take shelter of me with devotion. In Braj also, I should construct a huge fortress. Oh, I lifted Govardhan. I must therefore protect the coward community by my transcendental potency, for I am their shelter. I am their master. Indeed, they are my own family. After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. If the enemies cause great obstacles for the people of Braj, whom I protect and take as my very life, all sorts of problems will occur. But protecting the billions of cowherds in the forest by constructing the fort will be difficult. How can one give up an object which has been obtained by one's own endeavors with suffering which is attractive to the eye and mind? According to this logic, going there now is not attractive to me because of certain afflictions related to that. I do not consider the affliction caused by the enemy to be extreme. Therefore, I will not consider going to Braj now. By establishing superficial indifference to them, their indifference to me can also be skillfully established. Seeing my indifference to Braj, the enemy will not attack Braj. Showing indifference to Braj, you will think only of Mathura. You will suddenly manifest a city far away in the ocean by your inconceivable powers. When the Yadus become attached to the place, you will live there. When the Yadus enter Dwarka, you will attack Kalayavan like death itself. You will show mercy to Muchukunda with pastimes of words, while you gently smile and show your teeth, which are as beautiful as Kunda flowers. You will return to Mathura with Balaram and some of the youngsters of the Yadud family. Without Kalyamana, the Malechas will be killed, making unintelligible sounds. You will take their unlimited wealth to Dwarka, but will not consider it pure since it was used by the Malechas. Jarasandha will attack Mathura as previously and face you, the protectors of his wealth, which was previously taken from him. In order to protect the wealth and your own people, you too, supreme, indestructible men, shining white and black, hiding your anger for fun, endowed with all auspiciousness, will quickly run as if fearing his arrogance, but actually out of joy, and climb the mountain called Pravarshana. You then will leave the mountain when evil fellows set the mountain on fire and jump from its peak 11 yojanas high. Falling far away, you will arrive at Dwarka. Not knowing your powers, Jarasandha will return home with repentance, sowing the seeds of a curse from the tree of sin in his heart. He will be the object of ridicule for the devatas speaking in the sky. What is the use of speaking of the victory of the two brothers and your defeat 17 times? How astonishing! O son of Jara, running comically like a goat today, you could not catch up with them. Krishna said, "Why will I not go to Braj, since the Yadus have the fortress and are supported by their troops and bodily strength?" Narada said to himself, "In spite of hiding it, his longing causes pain in the hearts of people like me." Aloud, he indicated the reason. When Kamsa will be killed, his many friends, just like Jarasandha, will become like him. How will you be able to go? Krishna said, "I will not go just to see them." Narada said with a rough laugh, "No, no." Krishna said, "Why?" Narada said, "You can go only with Vasudeva's permission. That I've already told you." Krishna said, "Then I will not go." Narada said, "You will go, but after a long delay. And since you will go to Braj, you will feel antipathy for getting married. But this will cause a great disturbance." Krishna said, "Oh, what is the cause of this?" Narada said, "When an ancient king named Rayavata is engaged by Brahma and gives his daughter to Balaram, Vasudeva and Devaki will request you several times to get married, but you, like an enemy, will not permit that effort. After 100 days have passed, one Brahmin will approach you in private with a disturbed mind. That auspicious Brahmin will, with shyness, offer you a judicious letter written by Rukmini, who is dependent on her father, and expresses herself boldly, fearing that she will be offered to another person. A summary of the contents is as follows. O Keshava, I am attracted to you because of your nature or because of mine. If someone else takes me by force, I will give up my life. From the point of view of urgent dharma, you will not reject this since you fear a dharma. What more can be said? You will finally marry her. The story will be spread throughout the world in this way. As long as Krishna, like a youthful lion, who destroys the center of the assembly by fracturing their arrogance with the roaring of his conch, makes no effort at all, the princes, situated like tigers, desire to see the cluster of jewels called Rukmini situated on the mountain of King Bhishmaka. When you break your resolve not to marry, you will then marry other meritorious girls since they are your eternal consorts. They can live only with you as their husband. Among the others, first you will marry Satyabhama. Next you will marry Jambavati. Jambavan will become overjoyed in giving his decorated daughter to you. People will speak of this as follows. When Prasena, brother of Satyajit, wearing a divine gem around his neck, was killed by a lion, Satyajit cursed Krishna. Searching for the gem, Krishna obtained the daughter of the king of the apes. When in searching for the jewel, you go on a difficult path for a long time and fearlessly enter the cave of Jambavan. great misfortune will fall on Dwarka, because, O Krishna, in your absence, disturbance is not uncommon. It is accepted that people take tears as their nature at that time. When you obtain Satyabhama along with the gem, the jewel will be offered to you, but you will return the jewel to Satyajit, getting the praise of all men.